Happy New Year to everybody. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 4 this morning. Nehemiah chapter 4. When I saw the theme for this coming year, I couldn't help but think about this lesson that I had written before about how the people had a mind to work. And I told Brother Leverett when he asked me to speak this morning, I told him that I had something ready. He was like, well, good deal. Don't have to worry about doing it myself. But hopefully this morning it'll be a lesson that gives us encouragement to make sure that we are ready to do the work that God has called us to do. If you look throughout the entire story of Scripture, all the way back at the very beginning of our history, we see that God always expected work to be done. Well, here in Nehemiah chapter 4, we certainly see no exception. And I hope as we read this chapter and make some New Testament application this morning that we allow ourselves to see if we have that mind to work. Let's begin reading together here in Nehemiah chapter 4 in verse 1 and just read through the chapter, get an overview of what's going on, and then we'll get started discussing our topic today. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, I'll be using the English Standard Version for my text this morning. It says, now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? He goes on to say, will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned woods at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads, and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemy said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Verse 21. So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day. So neither I, nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes, and each kept his weapon at his right hand. When you think about the nation of Israel and how they had been captive for so long, You think about how they had suffered because they had obviously gone into idolatry and suffered the consequences for that. But now with renewed heart, we see them now come back to the land to rebuild the wall. And so as we study this more closely, I want us to think a little bit further about these things and notice what we see going on in the first few verses here, especially in verses 1 through 9. You notice the first point I want us to think about this morning is that we will be mocked for doing the Lord's work. You notice there, especially in verses 2 through 4 again, especially in verses 2 and 3 rather, you notice it says, he said in the presence of his brothers, this Sanballat comes around and he's trying to mock the people. He says, what are these feeble Jews doing? And there's a lot of application to be made in that for sure for us today, isn't there? A lot of people look at us as Christians and they see people who are weak. They see people who are not very strong-minded. Well, if you ever sit down and talk with somebody who's of the faith, you can see that they're really strong. But then you notice there that Tobiah the Ammonite in verse 3, after he sees Sanballat make all these accusations, all these different things, he adds insult to injury where he says there in verse 3, yes, what they're building, if even a fox goes up on it, he'll break that wall down and they're going to have to start all over again. Well, my friends, I would submit to us today that in doing the Lord's work, we're going to be mocked ourselves. Now, we may not be this morning building a wall. We may not be outside here building a physical wall, but we do have work that needs to be done. And if you turn with me, holding your place there in Nehemiah 4, come with me to the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want you to notice what Peter says regarding being mocked. For no longer living for the world, but for living for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look with me here in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. If you've ever had the time to survey the book of 1 Peter, you know that it's all about suffering and how we need to anticipate it. Well, in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, this is certainly no exception. It says there in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, it says in verse 4, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who were dead, that though they are judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. You notice again in verse 3 all these things that the world does. And there's a whole host of other things that Peter doesn't mention here, as Paul would say in Galatians 5 and the like regarding the things of the works of the flesh. But you notice there in verse 4, he says there, with respect to this, they are surprised when you don't join them in doing the same things they are doing. And you'll be mocked for that. But that's okay. Because if we're going to do the Lord's work, we understand, as it says there in verse 1, we need to cease from sin. We need to cease from doing our own thing and striving to please God. And there are many ways in which we will be mocked. We may not wear the same clothes that the world wears. We may not engage in drinking or in drunkenness. We want to strive to show others how we are living, that Christ is living in us, as we're told in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. When you go back to our text passage of Nehemiah chapter 4, you notice there that they are still continuing on with the work. In verse 6, our theme verse for this year, you notice there how it says that they built the wall, all the wall was joined together to half its height. Why? Why is it that they had this happen? That even though they were mocked, they weren't just going to go through the motions of putting the bricks together. They weren't going through the motions to put the mortar to hold those bricks together. They were doing so because it says at the end of that verse, the people had a mind to work. They were dedicated to making sure that they worked in the face of persecution. They were dedicated to making sure that they continued doing what they knew they needed to do. And so it's my hope and prayer this morning that all of us in this room make the resolution today, being New Year's Day, to make sure we are doing the Lord's work. And you notice there that in verse 7 down through verse 9, we see that the people of the world, if you will, if we want to think of it in our applications this morning, they're getting very angry. And there will be times where people of the world will see that we are doing what God expects us to do, and they'll get mad at us for continuing to preach what God expects us to preach, for practicing what God expects us to practice. But let me encourage us all, keep going, so we can be able to have that mind to work. When we think about how in verses 10 through 18, we see that Judah's strength was failing them. You notice there in verse 10, it says that the people in Judah, they're able to see what's going on. They said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's just too much rubble. And we see that even with all this persecution that they're dealing with, they're having to have their weapons in one hand, their work tools in another. They're having a very hard time with this. And as Christians, we face the same things. If I were to ask for a show of hands, I'm not going to do that this morning, but I just want us to ask ourselves, how many of us have ever had a time in our life where we were so excited to be a Christian, so excited to be a part of His church, and then something happens where it makes our strength fail, or it makes our strength be wavered for a little bit? I'm sure all of us in this room would be able to say, yeah, there's been times in my life where that happened. For me, I can remember having just graduated Athens Bible School in 2012. I went off to FC for a year, and then I came back here and I went to do some summer classes at Calhoun for my nursing degree. And I remember being around the world for the first time really in my life. And I remember telling my mother, I told her, I don't know if I can do this. My strength was failing. But with her encouragement and with her consolation, with being around fellow Christians for as long as I have, I was able to rally behind that. And I was able to become strong again. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen with us, my friends. There's going to be times where our faith may waver. And so again, when we think about how those things may happen, go with me, if you don't mind, to Matthew chapter 14 for just a moment. And I want us to think about what happened with Peter in particular. And we read so many times when Peter's faith is strong, he's on fire for the Lord, if you will. But then we come to Matthew chapter 14, where we see that these disciples are in a boat, they're crossing, and it's a very stormy night. You notice there in verse 26 how it says, when they see Jesus walking on the water, they're afraid that they're going to die. They cry out in fear because they say it's a ghost. But notice what it says beginning in verse 28. After Jesus immediately says, take heart, it's I, don't be afraid. Notice what happens there in verse 28. It says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I admire Peter for his faith here. But part of the problem is when he started by saying, Lord, if it is you. There will be times in our lives where we may doubt. There will be times where that happens. And you notice there that in verse 29, after he starts walking on the water, he's doing the exact same thing Jesus is doing, and you can imagine what that must have been like. And then in verse 30, we see what happened next. Not only does he say, Lord, if it is you, he takes his eyes off of Jesus and starts looking around and sees everything going on around him. And what's even more interesting about this storm, Jesus didn't stop it so that way he could walk on the water. The storm is still raging at this point. And yet, we see Peter begin to sink and he asked the Lord to save him from certain death. But yet Jesus reaches out his hand and takes hold of him and asks him, why did you doubt? My friends, we don't need to allow those times where that happens to be where we remain in that. We don't need to allow ourselves to allow that to happen. Because as we've mentioned previously, we will have times where we suffer. There will be times where we go through hardship and we may not understand why sometimes. But we've got to make sure that we allow ourselves to continue on. We keep on keeping on. And if you come with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, I would give some encouragement this morning to those that may be even here this morning that are struggling in some way with their faith. I want to offer you a word of encouragement regarding that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, after talking in the first 11 verses about this day of the Lord that's to come, you notice there in giving these last instructions, he says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 14 in particular, he says, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. We need to allow ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we come together in this place, when we're together in other capacities, to encourage one another when we're faint-hearted, to help those that may be weak, to admonish those that may be idle, disorderly, undisciplined, but above all, to be patient with everyone. Because we're all people. We're all different. But we're all united together in Christ. And so, as we think about what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, let's also consider what is said in Hebrews chapter 12 regarding how we can encourage those that may be wavering in their faith. Come with me here to Hebrews chapter 12. And let's notice here what is said in verses 12 through 15. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 12 and going down to verse 15. Where the Hebrew writer, after talking about what discipline is all about, says there, therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. If you're here this morning and you're thinking about how your faith may be shaky, I want to encourage you, as the Hebrew writer here did, to lift those drooping hands, to strengthen those weakened knees, to make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated or put out a joint, but rather be healed. Because we got to understand that there will be times where things go wrong. There will be times where our faith is tested and tried. But we've got to ask ourselves, what are we going to do when things do go wrong? Are we going to allow ourselves to wallow in self-pity and doubt? Are we going to allow ourselves to question our relationship with God? It even got to the point with Job, if you ever read the book of Job, how he did that. But after God spoke to him directly, he realized his place. We need to allow ourselves to be strong, to be courageous. Because we have to understand, in light of that, that we must never forget that God is the one who helps us to win. Going back to Nehemiah chapter 4, I want us to read those last few verses again, and I want us to notice what is said, beginning in verse 19 and going down to the end of the chapter. You notice here as we finish out the chapter, in reading this again, Nehemiah says to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. And notice what he says at the end of verse 20. Our God will fight for us. And in encouraging those people, he says, continuing in verse 21, about what happens. It says, so we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day. So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes, and each kept his weapon at his right hand. The work is great. There's a lot to be done. But you notice there, he says in verse 19 that they were separated from one another. They were very far apart. When we walk out those doors this morning at the conclusion of our service, we're going to be far apart from one another, physically speaking. But we need to make sure that we are united together in heart, that we continue to strive to work together. And if we continue to serve God, if we continue to follow Him, if we continue to do the work that He has called us to do, you notice there at the end of verse 20 again, it says, our God will fight for us. If you come with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, we actually read this section of Scripture in our Bible class together this morning with the young adults, and it was something that was wonderful as a reminder that our fight that we have in this world, it's not against mere flesh and blood. We're not fighting a physical war. We're fighting a war. We're in a battle each and every minute of our lives, even here in this place, with Satan warring to try and get us because he knows he doesn't have us in his hand. And as it says there in Ephesians chapter 6, look with me beginning in verse 10, where he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Christians, you stand before God as a soldier, and you must put on that armor. And as we made note of this morning in our Bible class, there's no provision for your back. There's no provision that will allow you to run backward toward the enemy. Because in doing so, you're going to wind up getting yourself hurt or worse. We all have a duty. We all have a responsibility to do the work. Nehemiah shows us this. Not only was he one of the leaders, not only did he, as a leader of God's people, understand that he needed to be a part of the work, he had the other leadership to help with the work as well. And so if you come a chapter back to chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians, beginning in verse 11, I want us to remind ourselves of the same principle, that it's not up to just one man to do the work. It's not up to just a preacher. It's not just up to the elders. It is all of our responsibility to chime in and work. Because as he says there again in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, it says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We all have a duty. We all have a responsibility to do the work that God has called us to do. And when you think about what Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, He says He's got all authority in heaven and on earth, and that we are to go. We are to go and to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so as we wrap up this morning, we've got to ask ourselves, well, what exactly is that work that God has called us to do? God has called us to reconcile the world to Himself. And He has done that through the cross. And if you come with me to this last passage I want us to consider this morning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want us this morning to ask ourselves, do we have the mind to work, to reconcile the world back to God? Do we have that mind that seeks to teach and to preach, to let others know of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, it says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." Verse 20. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you're not a part of the work yet, but you can be. And so our simple plea is the plea that we just read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that you be reconciled to God. God's already done His part in providing His Son's blood as a means to forgive you of your sin. But if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God and you would like to avail yourself of that forgiveness, you can do so by coming forward and confessing that you do believe Jesus to be the Son of God, and that through repenting of your sins and saying you want to do nothing more with Satan and his cronies, you can then be buried with Christ in baptism to have those sins washed away, to become a new creation. But if you're here this morning as a Christian and you decided to go back to the enemy, God is still willing to forgive if we're willing to confess our faults, if we're willing to repent of those things. So that way we can have our brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for us and with us so that way we can be useful in His service once again. Let's roll up our sleeves and do the work. Let's have that mind to work. And if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation in any way, we stand ready and willing to assist you while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.